Your album is called Down on the Upside. It's a cool title. Did you spontaneously come up with it, or was it planned? Did it come out of any particular experience?
Mm-hmm. Chris threw that out a while ago, then we tried to get other titles going, and none of them really worked.
Yeah, it kind of came.
And then brought that up again, and everyone said, yeah.
Yeah, it kind of came around, kind of went full circle. It was like, how do we come up with a title that covers all the music on the record without sort of misrepresenting anything, and then, you know, how's it gonna look, and so we went through all these different ideas, and then ended up coming back to that because it seemed to be what we were trying to say in the first place, or, you know, it seems to be able to accurately describe the whole thing as a record, as opposed to, like, if we had a really abrasive title, a really rocking title, it might represent two or three songs. And if we had like a really moody title, it might represent two or three songs. And so that's always a hard thing.
Yeah, but it really seems to work, because I know exactly what you mean. It like listening to the album, then hearing the title, you go, yep, that's good. Right.
That's great.
And
that's
no one
great.
Really liked my idea of coming at you. So, you know.
It just didn't represent too many songs on the album, I suppose.
And then there was Mr. Bunchy Pants.
Yeah. Mr. Bunchy Pants, everybody kind of liked it, but somehow it just didn't end up flying.
Didn't fly, baby.
The Bunchy Pants didn't fly.
Well, it would demand some kind of, you know, cartoon-type cover as well. You know, to like a...
MC Hammer.
Yeah. So you guys use some instruments that you haven't used before on this. I noticed that in...
Screwdriver.
Yeah. And Ty Cobb, there's some mandocello, right?
And a mandolin.
Yeah. And what other instruments do you guys use?
Moog.
Yeah,
some
Moog.
Cool.
Some piano, and there's some little bits of trinkets and whatnot of percussion and things we probably never used before. We did a lot of.
Some found the fish.
Did a lot of varied trip with amplification and a lot with vocals. I don't think there's maybe like two or three. Songs where the vocals are being sang straight into a normal microphone, you know, the normal way. There's a lot of, we did a lot of strange stuff that way that we'd never done before.
So what spurred this spirit of experimentation on this one? It was just a general feeling, just started happening.
Well, you gotta, I mean, at some point probably start doing things you've never done before. It's just fun, just trying to have fun.
Cool.
It was very spontaneous, like when we were recording Ty Cobb, these guys just pick up some mandolins and it sounds,
it has that spontaneous quality.
It's awesome.
At first I was like, huh?
Heard the rough mix of it and it sounded too Southern California, early 80s punk rock, and I was like, eesh.
Yeah.
Let's put some mandolins on there, and like 2 hours later there were mandolins and mandolins.
What's amazing is the way the instruments cut through. You can really hear them, you know. Mm-hmm. You just wouldn't think that they'd be able to cut through like that, but, you know.
There's no problem with that on that song. They're just like, you know, when they're there, and they're not really stepping on anything. But that, I guess that's the nature of the sound of that instrument.
They're trinkets.
They are.
There is a question that I was asked to ask you. And I'm thinking, there is such a distinct style that the band has, you know, and yet you all write. Of course, you're individually, you know, presenting your creativity on the album, and yet it has that umbrella of Soundgarden.
Well, everyone writes a lot more than that? Everyone writes a lot more than what we record. I mean, Chris and Ben, for instance, write a lot of things that stylistically might not get the four of us going simultaneously in this band, but there's other styles that everyone's capable of writing in. Mm-hmm. The style that tends to be incorporated in a Soundgarden album are tend to be the songs that all four of us like and enjoy playing and listening to.
What if I throw out some song titles for you and you guys just
comment or something?
Just you know, not on comment, but like just you know, by association, or maybe brings up you know, some experiences that you had, good or bad or whatever, to shed some light into, you know, the process that went into each song. So, how about Pretty News?
Let's see. Being in a small isolated room with the guitar amp turned up really loud, trying to make it sound right, and then blowing my ears out after about an hour of playing it.
That's part of the Orange Marmalade set to me. That's for that song, Pretty News. I was talking about this the other week. Pretty News, Day I Tried to Live. Mm-hmm. And She Likes Surprises.
Mm-hmm.
Head Down and My Wave. They're the Orange Marmalade set to me.
Alrighty then. Yep, there you go.
Now, an interesting one is, it's almost an instrumental, and yet it's not, of course, called Apple Bite.
Yeah.
It's really cool. I mean, it's hypnotic, and it's insistent, and very strong musically. And Chris
and repetitive.
Is singing something there, but I don't know if anybody...
Yeah,
I mean, we're
the
trying
vocals
to figure
are
out.
Even the
fucking
wrist
great.
On your arm.
What are you singing there?
That you
classic
have to,
line.
They'll have to go out and buy the record and then read it, and hopefully there won't be any typos on it, so it'll be easy to read.
Because there are some typos nobody would guess.
No.
Which ones they wouldn't know.
But there shouldn't be any typos, because there's like only three lines in the whole song, so if they can't get that right, then
they'll be really upset.
The vocals cool. are great on that one, because it sounds like a guitar or a different instrument other than vocals. Mm-hmm.
It takes you a second to catch up to it.
And it's amazing because it's placed in such a way that you have to like almost put your entire head inside the track.
Yeah.
So that you have to be inside with it to hear it. It sucks you in a lot. It's really
well instrumentally effective. The vocals work as one of the non-vocal instruments, I guess. Like at the very end, he's almost feeding back and like hitting all these interesting overtones and.
That was a lot
harmonic
of
things that just fit with all the other instruments that are going on in there. So
that was the use of
success.
Amplification with the microphone and stuff like that.
Yeah. It would have. It just seemed like it'd be weird to have a song like that with normal vocals, especially if you know we're gonna try to let the song sort of cascade. So it starts out with just with a simple guitar riff and then slowly build. And if all of a sudden like 2/3 of the way through the song. You got like a singing part, it would have just totally screwed it up. So I was just trying to add vocals while still trying to keep it an instrumental at the same time.
Wind what about the An Unkind?
Love that song.
Mm-hmm.
It's been around
for
a while.
Why do you love it? Why do you love it?
Just because it's fast and short and
mm-hmm.
Just really good driving guitar riff, and the lyrics are really strange and cool at the same time.
Yeah, it's the just the way that it's a compactness. It's an entire song that kind of leaves you wanting more,
mm-hmm.
and it sounds like an entire song, but it's not like one of those like minute and a half punk rock songs that was designed to be short. It's mm-hmm. just like what it is, and it's totally it's a great rock
Bruce
song.
Bruce Lee flurry of punches.
It's a well, you know, however long it takes to get the vibe across and to for the message, you know.
If it's 2 minutes or
anything beyond that is in excess.
The song's hard on your pinky.
And your penis.
And it's just grabbing onto that. It's hard.
I can't play it correctly on guitar. I didn't play it on the record. Ben played a guitar and Kim played guitar.
So I was busy throwing my hands up in the air. I'm
going, I can't do it.
I can't do the pinky thing.
So it must be fun after you finish a record to pick up the instruments and get ready for the live experiences.
I have to learn all the songs.
It's like, how did that go?
It's comical is what it is. It's like the first couple of days you're going, oh my God, this is going to be awful. And then like all of a sudden you remember it. Oh yeah, we did this. We recorded this.
But the funny thing.
It was a practice session.
Yeah, a lot of the stuff we learned and recorded, so we've never rehearsed.
Right, yeah,
most of this stuff, we've never ever rehearsed it.
Right, it's like bass ackwards in a way, you know?
Completely.
Well, earlier albums we've made, the songs are usually live tested or tour tried or whatever.
Right.
Live tested, tour tried.
Sunday, new songs.
New songs.
So everything had been around the block a few times before we recorded it, and in this situation, the songs are having their first breath on a digital recording.